This is the Thanks for Sharing podcast, the podcast where we explore all things recovery, healing, and relationship.
Remember to subscribe and download episodes in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on the Podbean app.
You can find more Thanks for Sharing at www.thanksforsharingpodcast.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/healingpaths. That's path with an S.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Thanks for Sharing. I'm John T.
And I'm Jackie P.
We are finishing our series on the 12 step today. We made it to step 12.
Woohoo!
And maybe we'll need to do an episode on the 13th step. It's not in any literature. Well, it is in literature.
It is in literature.
Basically, what the 13th step is, don't sleep with anybody that you go to meetings with.
Don't start making your addiction on fellow travelers.
Yes. Yeah, so if you, if you've listened to this series and you feel like we need to do a 13th step episode, talk to us.
Right.
And we'll do that. So we'll just dive right in. Step 12 reads, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others who still suffer and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And actually that line, that last one, in all our affairs, that reads differently in the S material.
Yes.
I think it, because clearly we don't want to practice affairs
right.
in S recovery, but how does that read in like the SA book? It's something like in all facets of our life or in all areas.
Yeah, I might be all areas.
Our lives.
In
practice
our lives.
These principles in our lives.
Okay.
So I'm going to start today with the ACA Big Book because I think it points out something really important. There's two parts to step 12. The first part is recognizing that we've had a spiritual awakening uh-huh. as a result of taking the steps. And the second is that we carry that message to others. So here's what ACA has to say about the spiritual awakening. It says, ACA members who focus primarily on seeking a spiritual awakening without working on the effects of family dysfunction are often involved in a spiritual bypass. A spiritual bypass means the person is attempting to avoid the pain that can come with working through trauma and neglect from childhood. In some cases, the person attempts to jump ahead in the recovery process without going through the entire process. The spiritual experience may bring some forms of enlightenment. However, the person can cling to old ways of living without embracing ACA recovery. Through arrogance and fear, the person appears to work a program that has little resemblance of the ACA program. I appreciate that look at the 12 steps because I think, or at step 12, because I think it's a pretty true addict fashion to jump ahead to mm-hmm. the end and say, well, where's this going to get me? And I'll just go straight there.
Yeah.
And it really starts pointing out that spiritual awakening comes from steps 1 through 11. It's not uh-huh. something that we materialize in step 12.
Well, and let's be honest, who likes to be jolted into awakeness?
I mean,
right? Like,
I wish it worked that way for me.
I don't like to be woken up in the morning, you know, with all the fire alarms going off in my
yeah,
house, right?
True.
Like, that jars my system. And so, again, I think this spiritual awakening, the way that we read about it, it's kind of this gradual, slowly, like the
coming
light
to
starts
awareness.
To come up.
Mm-hmm.
We start to become aware of sounds that when we're in deep sleep, we don't even hear.
Yeah.
Right? All of a sudden, we're awakening. We're not just like awake.
Yeah.
And when we jump into, you know, from step one, we jump to step 12. I think it's that idea that somehow that's going to work for us. That I can be in dead sleep and all
yeah.
of a sudden I'm wide awake.
Well, I love that image because I think 12-steppers who try to go straight to step 12, they're panicked in that.
Right.
Like, they're not really helpful to the newcomer because they're just frantically
mm-hmm.
trying to get oriented instead of recognizing there's a process that gets here. And it's a hard process, but that's what gets the 2 and 3 years of sobriety. That's when I
right.
hear this person share in the room and I think, I need to talk to them.
Yeah.
I need to get to know them. They feel solid.
Right.
That came from a lot of work.
Yeah. And again, with the 12 step, it says having had a spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
It's this like, it's happened in this previous steps that you've had. So when you have arrived at step 12, you've had a spiritual awakening and it's come step by step, work by work, piece by
yeah.
piece.
You know, I took a call this week, and on many weeks I take calls that are like this where I will hear people talk about how they just need a little bit of help because when sex addiction came out, they went and talked to their ecclesiastical leader and they got really involved with their church stuff, which is great. I'm glad
right.
when that's a part of somebody's recovery program. But it becomes clear to me with the feeling that there's still this panic beneath that. Like, instead of that being an important structural underpinning, it became the coat of paint that they put on everything. And so I think being aware of spiritual bypass and recognizing that our road to spirituality goes through that valley of pain.
Right.
It doesn't float us above the valley of pain.
Dang it.
Right.
It doesn't tunnel us under.
It's not a magic carpet.
Yeah. In ACA, it also talks about, says this, it says, because of his own violent upbringing before World War II, Tony knew that adult children carry inherent shame and abandonment. Tony's one of the founders of ACA. So he knew that adult children carry inherent shame and abandonment. Without help, we can abandon ourselves in a heartbeat. He believed we can only be healed by self-love and the hand of God, called upon by the willing adult child. He knew adult children spend a lifetime running from abandonment or shame, disguised as a variety of compulsions and self-harming acts. He knew we never stopped loving our parents, even though we thought we had. And then I love this line, too. It says, we go outward by going inward, and we become inwardly illuminated. And I've, just in prepping for this podcast episode, talked with several clients this week about that. Like, as you try to focus outwardly on what needs to be done in my external world, go internal, find the light in there, and what is that telling you that you need to do? And they often have found some clarity there. Now, the ones that I've talked about this with are more advanced in their recovery steps. They're not in the beginning stages. I wouldn't say that to somebody in the beginning because they don't know how to do that. But as they went inward, they did find clarity. They found that illumination, and then they were able to do what they needed to do rather quickly in their external world.
Yeah. And I think that, again, points out how the steps work. Like, step 12 is a logical conclusion to steps 1 through 11. Like, that's a place that we get. It's not, I don't experience that as a step that we stretch to. Like some of the earlier steps, I've really got to confront my denial. I've got to confront my powerlessness. Step 12 is like when you've worked the others, you get to this point where that is the logical next step.
Yeah.
And it really is that what now exists inside of me, that radiates outside of me, and that's something that's helpful to other people. And that's something that's helpful to me. And then we get that feedback loop when I'm of service to others and I'm here for others, I'm here for me. And when I'm here for me and I'm consistent with me, then I'm here for others too.
Yeah. The big book of AA talks about, it says a couple of things. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when all other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Then it says, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. And then it says this, the answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So again, that the answers will come if your house is in order. To me, that's, again, if you're keeping to work the steps, you're making sure that you know what's going on in your own inventory. You know what's happening in terms of harms done and amends that need to be made. Like, all of those things. If your house is in order, the answers are going to come. And again, we start to transmit that. I mean, AA and several of the other books talk about the way to transmit that, you know, and how oftentimes that example and what other people feel from us is one of the best ways we transmit that.
Yeah.
And we can't transmit serenity if we're in chaos.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to look at the histories of any of these 12-step organizations, and you did not get these, you know, one or two gurus that showed up fully enlightened. Like, they worked alongside people with the same problem.
Right.
And they figured it out together. So I think that's an important aspect of step 12, too. And I'm going to read from a gentle
Wait, before go you go there, it says this, too. It tells this story. It says, when AA was quite young, a number of eminent psychologists and doctors made an exhaustive study of a good-sized group of so-called problem drinkers. The doctors weren't trying to find out how different we were from one another. They sought to find whatever personality traits, if any, this group of alcoholics had in common. And they finally came up with a conclusion that shocked the AA members at that time. Said, these distinguished men, meaning the psychologists, had the nerve to say that most of the alcoholics under investigation were still childish, emotionally sensitive, and grandiose.
How dare they? That is not... It's not any addict's experience.
So again, other things to make sure where you're at in relationship to, so that you know if your house is in order, if you're right. still childish, if you're still emotionally sensitive, if you have grandiose ideas about yourself, might need to look at a different fellowship that will help you work on those things.
Right, right. I appreciate that. That is that is funny.
These people had the nerve to say.
In A Gentle Path Through the 12 Steps on page 325, it talks about some different ways that we practice the 12th step. And something that I realized from this is practicing the 12th step starts from your first day in whatever recovery mm-hmm. fellowship you're in. So it says, one of the million reasons to do 12-step work is that you stay sober. But helping others is a significant part of the program, and there are many ways the program gets passed on. When you live the program and share it with others, you are carrying the message, especially when you sponsor new members. In practicing the 12th step, you will find that witnessing to others your appreciation of the program and the program's impact on your life deepens. Hearing the stories of new members, you are reminded of where you started. Modeling to others, you become aware that you need to practice what you preach. Giving to others, you develop bonds with new people who really need you. Helping others, you give what you have received. Supporting new beginnings, you revitalize your own efforts. So in that sharing and listening and all of those things that most people do from the first time they get into a 12-step group, they're passing along what's given them. Carver Brown told the story of getting his first sponsee, and it was like 4 weeks into AA uh-huh. or something like that. Yeah. And his sponsor said, well, I've taken you through the steps. Now it's time for us to pray you up a newcomer.
Right.
And Carver had said something like, I can't help anybody. I'm only 4 weeks sober, or maybe it was like 5 weeks at that point. Uh-huh. And his sponsor, who was like 2.5 years sober or something like that, said, the newcomer doesn't want to know how to get 2.5 years. They want to know how to get 3 and 4 weeks.
Right.
And so while I think doing exhaustive sponsoring, you need to be careful. Like, you can't take someone where you haven't mm-hmm. been yourself. But as far as like teaching a newcomer, this is how you keep showing up at meetings.
Right.
Or this is how you find a sponsor. Or this is how you mm-hmm. get honest. I think that's something that newcomers are very well equipped to right. help people with. And that is part of that spirit of passing on what was given to us.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Great stuff. In NA, it talks about, in the 12th step, it says, we share from our own personal experience what has been like for us. The temptation to give advice is great, but when we do so, we lose the respect of newcomers, and this clouds our message. A simple, honest message of recovery from addiction rings true. And then it says, by staying clean, we begin to practice spiritual principles such as hope, surrender, acceptance, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, faith, tolerance, patience, humility, unconditional love, sharing, and caring. As our recovery progresses, spiritual principles touch every area of our lives because we simply try to live this program in the here and now. We do recover to live clean and happy lives. Welcome to NA. The steps do not end here. The steps are a new beginning.
I wanted to echo that with what's in the 12 and 12 on page 109. I think these go hand in hand. It says, even the newest of newcomers finds undreamed rewards as he tries to help his brother alcoholic, the one who is even blinder than he. This is indeed the kind of giving that actually demands nothing. He does not expect his brother or sufferer to pay him or even to love him. And he then discovers that by the divine paradox of this kind of giving that he has found his own reward, whether his brother has yet received anything or not. His own character may still be gravely defective, but he somehow knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty beginning, and he senses that he stands on the edge of a new, mysterious, joyous experience with which he has never dreamed. So I think that concept of kind of being surprised by what is given back to us in giving to other people, I think that's one of the things that makes the steps so versatile and so useful. You know, it's not this 12-step thing that we run through and then we never go back to.
Right.
It really unfolds a process and a way of living that keeps us having one awakening after another.
Well, and I think, again, when you've had a series of awakenings, it takes a to go back to that place of living from a place of death, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you're used to these awakenings that have been happening as you've been working all of the steps over this period of time, it's much more natural to keep the awakenings happening,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that they just keep coming. I keep learning more about myself. I keep learning more about other people. And then I take that back into me. That's an exciting way of life. Sometimes,
yeah.
you know, we talk with couples when we're doing marital work just about how living just in this rut, this ritual, it doesn't work for us. The brain craves stimulation. The brain wants to have a challenge. And if we're not giving a challenge to the brain will create it, oftentimes
mm-hmm.
through, you know, crises that end up happening. But if we continue to have these spiritual awakenings and we keep expanding our awareness, there's a novelty there that meets that need that the brain has for that stimulation, for learning, for growth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I lost my train of thought, but that's a really good point.
So Al-Anon, let's go to Al-Anon. It says, we experience a gradual awakening of the spirit, a gentle metamorphosis in the way we see ourselves and others, a slow and subtle unfolding of our own inner beauty. Some of us actually feel reborn, hopeful, and free of the fears and burdens that had previously prevented us from truly living. Thus, although our circumstances may not have changed, our lives improve dramatically because we perceive them in a new and clearer way. It says, before coming to Al-Anon, few of us would have believed that such a transformation was possible. Having been affected by a disease that robbed us of our dreams and paralyzed us with fear and rage or numbed our emotions, we doubted there was any reason to hope for a better life. Nonetheless, as a result of the Al-Anon program and its 12 steps, we have become living proof that miracles happen. Then it offers this, which I think is beautiful. It says, our futures are unwritten books. With the help of the 12 steps and the other Al-Anon principles, we will fill those pages with a life that is rich in love, constructive action, and spiritual well-being.
That jogged my memory of what I wanted to point out. I think that, like, this is talking about a new momentum and
uh-huh.
a new normal in life. Patrick Carnes talks about the addiction cycle and the recovery cycle
mm-hmm.
and how each has a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
In the addiction cycle, it's really driven by that escape and fantasy and disconnect from reality. And the recovery cycle, the engine of the recovery cycle is focus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like the momentum of an engine or the momentum of, you know, just your body moving, once it gets in motion in a direction, it's going to want to stay in motion in that direction.
Right.
And I think recovery can be just as strong in that potential as addiction can be.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's part of what we're sharing in the 12th step. And some of the other things that Jackie read alluded to this, like, how do you share? How do you pass it on to other people in recovery? And it's simply talking about that, this is where it started for me, and here's my story to date.
Uh-huh.
In ACA, they talk about it, we meet together to share our experience, strength, and hope. And for me, when I've sat in the rooms of recovery, like, that is what I'm getting from other people.
Uh-huh.
I hear their stories, and sometimes it's being reminded of how bad it can get.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's being reminded of what the messy middle looks like, and sometimes it's being being challenged to kind of raising my sights or raising a vision to what it possibly could be.
Well, and that reminds me, I mean, I've talked before about how I signed up and took the, I did the 12 principles with Dr. Carnes over a 3-year period. And I remember, like, hearing him sometimes, and I think this, again, he wasn't like, well, I don't know if he was or not, but he would just be talking like normal, like this is what's going on in my life. And things that he would share struck me in a way that I learned from him.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he was purposefully like, I'm going to say this so they learn this. But one of the things, you know, and I think he said this before at like symposium that we've been at and different things like that, but he'll say things like, I have learned more in the last year than I knew previously.
Mm-hmm.
And like saying things like that, and he's a person, you know, when we were in the 12 step or the 12 principles thing, he really was saying, here's like a set of books that I think people should read. And he like devours books.
Yeah.
And so he'd be like, okay, here's your list for the next quarter that you're supposed to read. And everybody would be like,
I haven't read this much in 10 years.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, he'd be like, well, I mean, if you read like what, a book a week, then you should be able to. And we were all just like, how about a book a quarter? Like, we've got lives, we've got, you know. And he would just be like, oh, that's too much. And we're like, yeah, yeah, that's a little too much. But I love the fact, I mean, he's in his 70s. He could, you know, he is considered the international expert on sex addiction. He could easily just be like, I got this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. I know everything. And he's not. And he's continuing to say, well, what about this? And how do we do this? And I mean, he recently was up in Canada doing a Fulbright scholar.
Yeah.
Where, and you know, that's one of the things he's like, we learned so much. And I'm thinking, that's so great. I want to be in my 70s and still be surprised by what I learn.
You know, one of the things that he said that actually inspired me, and this is, I'll bring in this quote from Recovering Couples Anonymous because I think it illustrates what you're saying. It's on page 39. It says, when we're able to shine the light of our own recovery experiences in such a manner that others find their own way, we're practicing the 12th step.
Mm.
So we're not lighting somebody else's path, we're illuminating ourselves.
Right.
And that helps others. So one of the things that he said in one of the modules, I think he said he tries to read every New York Times bestseller book because
yes.
he's never had one and he wants one. So he wants to figure out the formula or something like that. So I think it was in Mod 1, he said he read the Twilight series, like the vampire romance series.
Well, and he's read, what's it called? I haven't read all of them that, it's the like Scottish Jamie.
The Highlander series.
Yeah, the Highlander series. He loves that series. He's like, that's brilliant. So, and he'll quote it.
Right, right. So that was one of the things that inspired me because, and he actually, he was the reason why I gave the Harry Potter series a chance. It came out when I was like in seventh grade or something like that. And so I grew up with this bias. It's like, well, everybody likes it, so it's just got to be trash. Like, there can't be anything valuable
to it. I'm not
going
to go with the trend.
Yeah, and that's what I remember being on a first date with this woman, and she was a big Harry Potter fan, and I knew nothing about it, but I was like, I think it's just pop culture trash. Like, there's nothing substantive to it. We didn't have a second date. I don't know why. But, like, he inspired me with just that, like, I'll read anything on the New York Times bestseller list. I want to know what that's about. I know as far as what I've started to read, like, I have that in the back of my mind, like, oh, people are saying this is good. I want to know what that's about.
Well,
I
and at the same time, he's reading, I can never say this author's name, Flo. Do you remember how to say his name?
Oh, I hear his name come up like 3 times a month and everybody says it different. So it's something like Cheek Highs Sent Me High or something like that.
Something like that. I mean, and he reads that. Like, he can read really dense stuff, but then he reads like the Highlander series.
Right.
And gets really meaningful things out of that too. And
yeah.
To me, it's also this importance of like, oh yeah, I do need to read books for work, but I also need to read books for entertainment. And I'm surprised at how when I'm reading books for entertainment, I find practical life wisdom.
Oh yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And again, just that, like I've learned from him that ability to meet all of my needs and to recognize I have different needs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't only have needs to read research-based work.
And now I'm sure that's something that he could expound on or anyone could expound on for hours, but that's not how the wisdom was passed along.
Right.
It was simply him mentioning his experience and mentioning what's important to him. I recently listened to a Rob Bell podcast about, I think it was titled The Lost Art, and he talked about sermons and how how entranced he is with that, and he feels like it's his calling to give sermons. Uh-huh. And he said, the thing that makes a good sermon is that it creates space for people to hear what they need to hear.
Yeah.
And to experience what they need to experience.
Which is what stories do. Right. Like, story, you can have a group of 10 people hearing one person tell the same story
mm-hmm.
to all 10 people at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and each one focuses on a different thing that they needed to hear in that story.
And I think that's really what the spirit of the 12th step is, I'm still focused on my experience, and mm-hmm. I'm focused on what's working and maybe even what's not working for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm sharing. And that is, if you've never been in one of the recovery rooms, like, that's part of the power that you can find in a healthy functioning group is
yeah.
that nobody's telling anybody else what to do. Nobody's giving advice or giving pointers. They're simply sharing story, and it illuminates everybody in the room in the way that
right.
they need to be illuminated.
Well, and because, I mean, there have been times I've been listening to people talk about their experience, and I find an answer to a question. I hadn't really formulated the question yet.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden I'm finding, like, this answer or this direction when I hadn't maybe even known to ask a question.
Yeah.
So I think it also works that way.
Yeah. The big book of SAA talks a little more about that on page 59. It says, each of us carries this message by means of the wisdom gained through working the program ourselves rather than through ideas or theories borrowed from someone else's experience. We are not experts, only sex addicts sharing honestly with one another. Our authority comes from our experience. We share what we know, how we got here, how the SAA program worked for us. When we carry the message directly to other sex addicts, we connect with them in a way that non-addicts cannot. We speak from experience. We have found that telling our story is one of the most effective ways of carrying the message.
Mm. I would have this from Sexaholics Anonymous as well, that says, the result of working the steps is not primarily a physical or emotional awakening, though these are involved. It is essentially a spiritual awakening, where the spirit that was dead to God, others, and rightness is made alive to God, alive to others, and alive to rightness. Spiritual awakening is not merely sobriety. An awakening to knowledge about the steps, belief in the steps, or psychological insights into why they work. It is a change of state, an awakening of what was once dead. The end of step 12, and practice these principles in all our affairs or in our lives, is not the end, but the beginning for us. By its very nature, our recovery must go beyond the mere cessation of our acting out. Lust and dependency are more than sick eternals. They strike at the very soul of our connection with God and others, and have corroded the very heart of our humanity. That heart is what must be renewed. If we are to give this aspect of our program its due, we should give it special emphasis. Call it step 12 and one half.
Hmm.
So again, that would be before we get to the 13th step.
Which we try not to go there.
We don't want to be a 13th stepper.
Yeah, that's an understatement. We don't try not to go there. We don't go there.
Right.
Did you have anything else on step 12?
No, I think that is what... I think that's all I've got.
Okay. So we'll wrap up this episode here and stay tuned to find out what we're going to do next. That'll be exciting for us to figure that out,
yes,
too.
Yes, it is. Remember, your story matters. Remember, there is something meaningful in every chapter. Don't wait to share your story till it's finished.
You can share your story with us on our Facebook page, Healing Paths, Inc., or on our website, www.thanksforsharingpodcast.com. This podcast is solely for the purpose of information and entertainment and does not constitute therapy, nor should it replace competent professional help.
At the end of another episode, we want to remind you that nobody has time for perfection. We are pursuing progress.
Remember the prayer of the perfectionist. Help me remember I can't do it all. Help me to take things one step at a time, and that the only step I need to focus on is the next right step for me.
Help me to remember that life is a journey. Help me to be able to separate all that I'm learning from all that I have to do. Help me to remember that I am not alone, that I can ask for help. Help me to strive for frequent awakenings, not mastery. I am enough. Amen.